God, I'm an addict. You know, with an introduction like that, make you think like you're on the stage of Apollo. But I'm glad that I can I recognize today, man, that I'm no better than and I'm no less than. And my acceptance comes from, man, accepting just that fact, man, that I came in here looking for some help, but I didn't know which help to look for. I came in on methadone after being on methadone for 5 years. And somebody told me when I came in here that in order for me to get this program, that I would have to be clean off of methadone. So I went to meetings and did and accepted the guidance that they was giving me. But it was kind of foreign because I went to meetings and I didn't use. But after I got off of meth, they told me I had to pick up a 24-hour chip. So right away I say, well, man, I haven't used in almost 9 months. He say, well, man. This program is a program of complete abstinence from all drugs. Even though that was prescribed by a doctor, that's not, you had to use that, you won't get this thing, I mean, feel it, this is a spiritual program, you won't feel the spirit of the program until you come in here and stop using anything. All mind, mood, altering chemicals, man. So I accepted the guidance from Jump Street. And you know what I'm learning, man? That my life is full of instructions. Instructions and experiences, and my experiences result from me following instructions, whether positive or negative. If I don't follow instructions, I get my head hit. If I follow the instructions, I can have some positive experiences. And this program suggests, that's all it suggests, that I share my experiences, strength and hope, whether they be negative or positive. But if I want to live the life that's being offered to me, I'd rather have some positive experience instead of some negative experience. So the accepting the guidance, man, was me coming in here and accepting my sponsor, man, who put me on the path that told me was the start of the journey that has become an adventure. And he said, well, man, when you get words, Bernard, not even those little small words, look in the dictionary. I was looking at a program, man, I guess about a month ago on HBO. And it was about this black actress called Bea Richards, man. And she had acting school, you know, like after she was she's dead now, but she had an acting school, and all the people that she taught, like Sidney Poitier, I can't think of the other brother's name, used to play on Sanford and Son. But she told them, man, don't remember the lines, use a dictionary. My sponsor told me that long before I seen this program. And he said, use the dictionary, Bernard, not to, like, look up the word, and then you got to look up another word to find that word. Look up the dictionary. Use the word that suits you. So I looked up accepting, man. And acceptance says, man, to endure without refusal or reaction. To endure without refusal or reaction. And then finally, to accept it as being true. Finally, as to look at it as being true. Guidance comes from the word guide. But see, guidance says advice. And you know, the literature says we frown on people giving advice, so all we do is give our suggestions. So I looked up the word guide, and it says, man, to point out and to point on a path. My sponsor put me on a path. He say, man, and this is a spiritual program, so I don't have to keep on saying, man, that it's not a religion. But he put me on a path, and I went to a reading that says, man, in about a narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way, but it leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by that gate. Narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way, but it leads to life. And there are few who find it. We are the few, man. So this path that I'm on, that I say is not a journey anymore, it's an adventure. And then I looked up adventure. It says a stirring experience, sometime of a romantic nature. So Jack, I'm having a ball on this adventure. See what I'm saying? I ain't shot no dope. I ain't on methadone. And I don't have to live up to nobody's expectations, man. I don't have to have a pocket full of money. I don't have to wear my hat backwards. All I gotta do is follow some instructions, man. That has led me to some freedom, man. And freedom is not, I mean, I got a freedom to choose, and I got a freedom of choice. What I want to do? Do I want half of this thing, or do I want all of it? And it says if I want all of it, man, that the steps is the way. It ain't no shortcut, it ain't no whole way. And then if I want all of it, I got to accept people just as they are, man. just as they are. And then I got to accept them because I'm one of them. I'm an addict. I don't raise my hand and say, well, Jack, just because I've been clean this much amount of time, I ain't gonna lie no more. I ain't gonna steal no more. And I'm still playing the numbers. So I'm not gonna tell. I'm not gonna play no more numbers. I do all that. But the day I have an awareness of my wrongs. But see, without these principles, I'd be saying, Jack, well, I ain't nothing wrong. This is a process. But my sponsor say, Jack, if you ain't progressing in the process, Don't keep on getting a crutch, man, because you came in here on a crutch. There ain't no more crutches. So you gotta accept things just as they are. You gotta accept life just as it is. I'm a part of something, man, that's I'm not even gonna make up the word for it. I'm a part of something that fills me up, man, when I see other people and I don't have to know them. That instead of giving me a handshake, give me a hug. It fills me up when I can see somebody, man, that accepts me just as I am. So it makes me accept them just as they are. I don't have it's no strings attached. The way I live today, man, is a direct result of the program of Narcotics Anonymous and the God of my understanding. It's no other way around it, man. The way I feel today is a direct result of the program of Narcotics Anonymous and the God of my understanding. I ain't never know that I had to surrender in order to win. I never knew that. I never knew that if I got off of methadone that I would never have to use again as long as I follow some instructions. As long as I wake up every morning and say, Jack, I can't use the day. First and foremost. It ain't about what kind of job I got. It ain't about what kind of car I drive. It ain't about what kind of clothes I wear. It ain't about none of that. It's about me not using. And then after I get a little bit of information about not using, it's about me helping somebody else. So it ain't never, this is a never-ending story. And the only way that I can help somebody else is to help me. The only way I can help somebody else is to accept them just like me, man. I'm an addict. And it don't mean because you get clean that we ain't going to fall. But the failure ain't in falling. The failure is not in getting back up. That's the failure. See, I ain't know that till I come in here. I ain't know that if I fell down today, man, ain't nobody gonna help me up. No, I got to help myself up. I got to help myself up because I have the information today. I ain't responsible for my addiction, but I am responsible for my recovery. So I don't have no more excuses. I ain't had no more excuses when the brother came to me. And he had 5 years clean, and he was on meth for 25 years. So what kind of excuse I'm going to have because I was on it for 5 years, and I'm coming here and say, well, Jack, man, I can't get off. He said, well, man, I got off of it. They say the therapeutic value of one addict helping another. Just straight up. I even accept guidance from my wife, man. You know, and I'm a type of person, man. I said, well, she's going to tell me, look, when you get paid, bring your money home. I'm saying, I bring some of it home, but I'm not bringing all of it home. And I'm not gonna tell you how much is on my check. But now I got to do this. And you know what, man? I'm saying this, and it says share your experience, strength, and hope. So now by doing this, it not only just makes our relationship a little better, that piece about honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness that one goes with the other and one cannot operate without the other, man, it's make our relationship a lot better, man, a lot better. I accept her just as she is. And you know what, man? And my wife is a recovering addict, just like me. I've been married. This is my second marriage. My first marriage, I was married for 22 years. My first wife passed, man, 13 days after my 5th year anniversary. 13 days after my 5th year anniversary. So for the whole 17 years before I came in, I had 5 years clean. It was a menagerie, if you can call it. I mean, I guess it was a terrible thing, man. Not on her part, but on my part. Not because of this disease that I have. See the literature breaks it all down and say that I can't look at nobody else. Anytime something's going wrong in anything that I'm involved in, I got to look at me first. That's what the steps told me, look at the reflection in the mirror. It wasn't nothing about, it was about me. My inability to accept personal responsibilities. My inability to own up to the vows that I took. Because of this disease that I have, my inability to want to be a father, my inability to want to take my money, all my money home at that time and pay $167 for the rent, and she paid the rent. I couldn't do that because of this disease. And then I wouldn't do it. I'd rather go up on the corner and sleep in an oil joint, you know, place with no running water, no you got to pay $2 to get in. You got, rats, roaches and everything. And I was comfortable in places like that until I surrendered. And then when I surrendered, I thought it was going to be all right, but it wasn't all right. She passed for 13 days and was finally accepting me, just like this topic is, as I am. But I don't, ain't nothing out of order in my life today, man. Nothing is out of order. The things that I didn't do, I get a chance to do today with my new wife. See, that's God's doing. That's not me. I'm not Don Juan. Don't mean I got a hell of a rap game or I'm a handsome guy, nothing like that. It means that I believe in something greater than myself that believes in me, and it's going to give me all that I need, not all that I want, all that I need. I have all that I need, man, regardless of the situation. I don't look at, and I came here, somebody said, well, man, you don't look, not just the glass half full. You should put a sauce underneath your cup to catch the stuff that's coming in. My cup is never running over. It always got, and I never have enough room. I say, well, man, how many people you got do you sponsor? I don't sponsor anybody. I have partners, man. This is a 50-50 thing. And the fifth step, and it works high and wide, I say, after doing the fifth step, we form a partnership. That's out of the literature. That's a beautiful thing, man. That's a beautiful thing where I don't have to own up to nobody's expectations. And then I don't have to live by the limitations of my past anymore, man. Goodness gracious, y'all. I ain't got to live because I used to live like that and I used to be like that. I have to live like that. No, I don't have to do that. That don't mean it's going to make me perfect. But because of the steps, I'm aware of my infallibilities, my imperfections. And I own up to what's mine. I own up to what's mine. This program, this topic, accepting guidance, is leading me to man, and the guidance leads me, steps lead me to a God, man. And I am saying, I'm not gonna say that I'm gonna lead this program. I'm gonna say leads me to a God that has helped, that sustains me in anything that I go through, man. I never believed in nothing like that. I believed in prayer, but I ain't know that it worked. So they say, and my sponsor told me, say, man, act as if until it becomes as is. Keep praying, because I prayed, but I didn't get no results because I was looking for the wrong thing. You know, like, looking for this and that, but the prayer, my answers came, man, through people, man. My answers come through people, and they keep coming, man. And not like I'm gonna hit the lottery and the IRS be paid off, because I'm man, but it ain't about that, man. Square business. It really ain't about none of that. It's just about me waking up in the morning, first of all, man. And I ain't got to shoot no dough. Man, goodness gracious. It's about me waking up, going to work, and taking that money home and giving it to my wife, Jack. And I ain't got to say, watch where she put it at, because I'm going back to get that money. Yeah, I'm going back to get it. That's my story. I ain't used to amass no fortune. I ain't used to look good. I ain't used to get no haircut. I ain't used to put on no clothes that match. Man, I literally say I used to live and live. That's what I did. I just used and then used some more. Yeah, this and when I come in here, they say, man, one is too many, a thousand never enough. Man, I never even knew that was, man, that was the truth. That's the truth. Because I wouldn't care if the table was full of it, man. It was never, my table was never full of it because people I hung with, Jack, I mean, you had to script, hustle for this stuff, Jack. And then after you get it, you got to hustle some more to get a little bit more. It wasn't never full, but it was never enough. It was never enough, man. And now coming here now, man, I know that one is enough. Man, I ain't got to eat till I get full. I can eat till I'm satisfied, man. I ain't got to have a whole lot of women, man. I'm one man. I'm 56, almost 56 years old. I can't do but one woman. So I need just one woman. You see what I'm saying? I want to keep it real, because this is how I live. This is how I live, man. I ain't jeffing a job. I ain't trying to spin nobody and say, well, man, I'm living like this and I'm doing this, or the program is so good. Man, try it for yourself, man. Yeah, try it for yourself. Keep coming back for yourself. That's what they did. They told me, keep coming back. Regardless of what I'm going through, they say, man, keep going. They ain't give me no whole lot of ram, and they ain't writing no prescription. They say, Jack, take it to the drugstore. This is going to make you feel better. They say, keep coming back. Yeah. Keep coming back. Stay honest, stay open, and stay willing. Keep coming back. And, man, it works. No joke. It works. Man, in any situation, man, in any kind of thing, man. And the literature is so awesome. Did it say practice these principles in all our affairs? So why am I going to just say, well, man, I'm going to practice? And that, I do it in all of mine, man. No joke, man. And sometimes I'm reluctant, and when every time I'm reluctant to do that, I get my head hit. Every single time. But when I practice it, man, it comes out A+, man. A+. And I wasn't no A+ student in school. But this thing is for real, man. Like I said, my life is full of, man, instructions. And I learned that since I've been in instructions and experiences, man. Instructions and experiences. If you don't cross on the red light, you won't get no ticket. And most important of all, you won't get hit by no cars. Cross on the green light, man. Bernard, if you go to a meeting, this chair, your experience, strength, and hope, not talking about somebody else, you'll help somebody else, man. Yeah. Goodness gracious. Don't look to help nobody. Don't let the left hand know with the right hand. You help somebody else, don't tell nobody about it, man. Mm. Don't tell nobody. Don't look for no blessing, because you already got a blessing because you breathe in a day, man. Yeah. Man, goodness gracious, man. Because you ain't shot no dope today, Bernard. Yeah, you ain't got to look for no blessing. That's a blessing right there. I woke up this morning, man. Square business. That's a blessing, man. I'm a Vietnam vet. That's a blessing, man, that I'm home, man. That's a blessing, man. Them brothers is over there. Man, goodness gracious, man. This is a blessing, man. The program of Narcotics Anonymous is a, and all we got to do, man, is accept God. That's all we got to do. And it's easy as I don't know what, man. I ain't jiving. Well, it is for me. I ain't bucking no more. I ain't offering up no kind of remedies because I don't have none. All I know to do is to keep coming back. All I know to do is, if I don't shoot no dope today, if I pray and help somebody else, put somebody else first and put myself last, I will become first. Man, ain't that something, man? Me thinking of me less, I'm first. From the off the bat. And I ain't even got to be worried about whether I'm going to get what they got or I want what they got. I already got it if I just take a look in the mirror, man. If I remember my story. My story is the greatest story ever told, because it talks about Bernard, not about nobody else. I better remember that, man. I better remember where I come from, man. That don't make me no better than nobody else, and it don't make me no less than nobody else because of the things that I did, man, in my addiction. Read the literature, Bernard. It tells me about my disease. It tells me that this disease is selfish, man. It don't want nobody to have anything, not even me. But it blinds that fact from me not having anything. Somebody try to help me, I say, help yourself. That's the disease. That's crazy. So I got to admit in the second step about the insanity piece. Yeah, I really was. Somebody want to help me, and I'm telling them to help themselves, and I ain't got a penny. I ain't got a pair of shoes without a hole in them. I'm telling them to help themselves. Man, help me, man. Yeah, that's what I say every day, help me, because I don't want to go without no more. I don't have to go without no more. That's a program officer to every one of us sitting in here, man. We don't have to be without. We don't have to wonder where the next meal is coming from. We don't have to wonder where the help is coming from. It's all in this room, man. Starts with a sponsor. And if you say the word, man, if you use the word love, man, you know what the definition? Look up 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Look up love. Look up love where it says, man, it's that don't envy, it ain't puffed up, it ain't jealous. It's long-suffering. That means whatever you do to me, Jack, if I love you, it don't matter. I'm going to be here. Because I ain't in charge, man. I got to remember who I'm dealing with. I'm dealing with people just like me. And love, man, is me giving of myself and expecting nothing in return. Not one thing. Not one. You step on my feet. You ain't got to say excuse me. All I got to do is wipe it off today. Because I got a little wardrobe now. I can wipe the shoes off. First, it didn't matter. You can step on them. It don't matter. I don't care. Yeah. But today, it really don't matter today. Man, God is good, man. This program is awesome, man. The feeling that I have, man, not just because I have an opportunity to share my experience and hope, but the feeling that I have because I'm a member of Narcotics Anonymous, man, because I have people in my life today, man, that accepts me just as I am. Goodness gracious, man. That's an awesome feeling, man. That's an awesome feeling with somebody. You ever notice that, man? When somebody can call your name, I mean, greet you by your name, and man, that's instead of just saying, hey, what's happening? Or instead of offering a handshake, give you a hug, man. Man, that's an awesome feeling, man. Whoever invented that hug thing's for real. Yeah. No joke. Yeah. No joke. And it says that in the literature about the hugs. See, everything I'm talking about, it comes from our literature, the literature of Narcotics. Don't make me no authority on the literature. Man, I just want to be up to date about what's happening in the world that I'm living in today. Yeah, I ain't talking about following the news and all that. I just read the literature and God's word. I don't watch no newspaper. I look to my wife. She know about everything about the news. All I got to do is ask her. But I read. That's all. That's what I do. And I follow the principles to the best of my ability. That's all I got to do, man. That's all I got to do. And look, and my life has turned around, man. I remember where I come from, man. My life has turned around more than 280 degrees, man, because of the principles of this program and because of me accepting guidance, man. I like to use words from songs, man, because I'm pumped up for real, and I ain't had none of that old stuff to make you feel pumped up. Because you know what? I know what I'm learning, man, that God put this in me from Jump Street. You know, like adrenaline, pump you right on up, Jack. And I tried to improve on that which was made perfect, you know, because I thought I could get a little higher by, you know, shooting a little dope, taking some Dolaphines and Cinequans and methadone, and not just taking the methadone by itself, but drinking a little bit, a little 40, or maybe sort of a little Coke, not shooting no dope because I don't want my urine to turn. Doctors tell me, not the doctors behind the gate, but doctors in the back say, well, Jack, drink some lemon juice or take some of this and get your urine clean. That stuff never worked, man. Never worked. And somebody told me in a meeting one day, said, man, don't take the advice from the doctors in the line. Take the advice from the doctors behind the glass, Bernard. Don't take nothing but the methadone. Go to drink your meth and roll out, man, instead of sitting around talking. If you round a hot dog, and I come here and say, if you round a hot dog, stand long enough, you're going to buy a hot dog. I say, dang, I didn't know this stuff. That's for real, because the longer I stood with them, the more I blended right on in with them. This disease is a monster, man, no joke. And it works every single day. So here go the steps. The antidote to the disease of addiction is the steps of Narcotics Anonymous. The antidote to the disease of this disease is the steps of Narcotics Anonymous. And then it goes, here come the ingredients, a sponsor. He ain't no angel. He going to make mistakes. A sponsor, partners, or if you want to call them sponsees, partners, they ain't no angels. They gonna make mistakes. I'ma make mistakes. But if we love one another, man, that's really the bond that keeps us all in here together, Jack. People don't want to, especially men. We don't want to talk about I love another man. You don't want to hurt, man. I got some partners in here that I love, man. Love you, Mike. I love, man. Square business, man. Ain't no joke, man. And I ain't afraid to say it, man. I ain't afraid to give him a hug. I ain't afraid to even kiss him on the cheek. I got some brothers that I kiss on the cheek, man. You see what I'm saying? And it says that in this word, to greet each one with a kiss. I ain't doing nothing wrong. Ain't nothing out of order in my life. I don't know about nobody else. Because of this program, that's how I live, man. Because of this program and accepting guidance, that's the feeling that I get that he has given me each and every day that I do to the best of my ability, not to live up to nobody else's ability, man, but to the best of my ability. It's real simple, man. I keep my life real simple, man, because of the program and because of because I want to live today, man. I don't want to exist no more. And because I want to live today, not by your rules and regulations, man. I did that before, and I stayed caught up for a long time, so I don't have to do that today, man. God is awesome, man. I like to thank, man, the people that Tri-County area, right, that invited me to share my experience, strength, and hope. I'd like to thank you all for your patience and tolerance, man. I'm going to keep coming back.
Thank you for sharing, Bernard.
Thank you, sir.
I'm from Rochester, you know, that Tri-County. I would now like to introduce the second speaker, Elaine Kay.
Eileen,
my mistake.
Hi, I'm an addict. My name's Eileen.
Eileen.
And it was really nice hearing you, Bernard. I thought this meeting was yesterday. Tomorrow. So I'm looking through the meeting list, and I see it's today. And now I can relax tomorrow because I'm not doing too good right now. You know, and I tried getting out of doing this because I'm not an eloquent speaker. I don't do good in this position. I barely do okay when I'm in a circle, you know, in my home group. And you know, I was leading a meeting in a different area a couple weeks ago, and I was quoting somebody else, and the quote was, advanced NA, don't pick up, go to meetings, and pray. Instead, I said, don't go to meetings, didn't say anything about picking up, and, you know, my husband and a friend are in the back going like this, you know, going, you know, get out. And that's what happens when I get nervous. My head's a jumble, and some things haven't gotten any better for me since I've been clean. But accepting guidance is probably how I've managed to stay here, a little piece of how I've managed to stay here. And, you know, I had several friends who had gotten clean before me, and they would take me to meetings and listen to my endless questions, and they just said, you know, when you're ready. And when I was ready, they were here for me, and I was ready for some guidance. And the first thing I didn't do was, you know, I went back to where I used to live, you know, after I got out of a treatment center, and it was suggested to me that I'd not go back. And I said, you know, they're my friends. They care about me. They're using, you know, don't go back there. And I'm like, I'll be all right. And I moved out in about a month. You know, there was a guy shooting dope in one room, a girl in another place smoking green and smoking crack, and they were taking bets on how long I was going to stay clean. And I thought one of the guys was going to die using because he was quite content, that junkie in the next bedroom. And he got clean a year after me. And, you know, following suggestions, you know, guidance, whatever you want to call it, was that I try not to rescue anybody, which in the beginning was very hard because, you know, when they tell you to stay away from those people that you have a hard time letting go of, it would be nice to rescue them instead. And I tried, and it didn't work, and I got that message, you know, that this is a program of attraction rather than promotion. When I had a hard time hearing about God in meetings, it was terrible. I couldn't stand it. It made me cringe in my seat. It made me cringe more when I was coming to meetings and hadn't realized I was powerless and unmanageable. I knew I was unmanageable, but didn't know I was powerless. And when I came in and I wanted to be here, it didn't bother me so much, but when somebody said, take what you need and leave the rest, that was more guidance. I mean, you know, everything that I've learned in here, I've been guided to what's brought me this far. You know, I was told to get a service position early on, and I got one early on. And anybody been in a position, you know, less than 60 days clean, getting a GSR position, that's a spiritual awakening in itself. Going to area service, you know, for the first couple months it's wild. And but it, you know, it put me in the arena. NA, I think, was something that I was always looking for. You know, I like being around people. I like to party. And in a way, it was its own little party, and there was lots of stuff going on, and NA was, you know, it was exciting, and it still is exciting. I haven't been to this convention in a couple years. I have a two-year-old. My daughter's going to be two next week, and I haven't been, you know, in about 2 or 3 years, and I probably should have come before this year because she's hell on wheels right now, and, you know, it's just exciting being in this convention center filled with people who are just like me. And who are trying to become better people, live a new way of life without the use of drugs. You know, so in early recovery, I was excited. I was told to get in the middle of the bed so I didn't fall out. And, you know, cliches were flying left and right. And I got in the middle of the bed and got me about 5 or 6 service positions by the time I had 2 years clean. And didn't like being by myself. You know, when I moved out of that house with my, you know, from my friends, I got a place by myself, and I didn't know how to be by myself. So I was never by myself. I went there to sleep because I didn't have time to do anything else because I was active in NA. And then it became time for me to learn how to be by myself and learn about myself and take a look in the mirror, you know. At that time, I think it was about step 6, 7 time, and I felt like I was looking in that mirror for about 2 years, you know, about too long. You know, and the sponsor I have today said, oh, I would never let you stay there that long. It's too long. We all have character defects, right? And they're not going to go away by staying there, right? So I eventually and finally, you know, I moved on. I know I've got character defects, and some of them are still not gone. I've got some new ones, I'm sure, that have popped up. And accepting guidance, you know, like Bernard said, it's sometimes easier to bump your head on the wall a few thousand times to get the message. And I remember when I had a couple years clean and my sponsor told me, she gave me some guidance, and I usually never took it. I mean, you know, I took some stuff, but, you know, some stuff I didn't. And I did some she suggested, and it worked out beautifully. And I was like, wow, why didn't I do this before? And it was great. And I guess that helped me to maybe, you know, trust somebody else, because sometimes I don't know what's best for me. And sometimes I still think I know what's best for me. And, you know, so life has progressed and, you know, time's going on and steps are being worked and guidance is being taken and guidance is not being taken or accepted or not being accepted. And I'm also sharing my experience, strength, and hope with other people. And sometimes my guidance is not accepted and not taken. And I had to learn that's okay, too, because I have to allow everybody else to be human and to make their mistakes and bump their own heads. Because I know that's, I've learned better that way, so probably everybody else does, too. And, you know, I've gone through, this past 2 years have not been the best for me, been a little difficult. I'm coming out of a very difficult time in my life because I'm married to an addict too. And sometimes shit happens. What can I say? You know, one person decides they're going to try it out there again. And it's hard dealing with the wreckage and being with a using addict when you're trying not to do that. And accepting guidance from people when, damn it, I know I can do it this way, you know? And I've made things difficult for myself, but I have accepted guidance, and I have followed suggestions, and I learned how to take care of me. And I think that probably has to do with listening to other people and accepting other people's guidance. I learned that I had to take care of me, because I cannot save anybody else. You know, so during this difficult time in my life, and things were rough, but I got to meetings. I kept in touch with my sponsor and my sponsees and other people. And I worked some steps, because that's a painful time is always a good motivating time to work steps. And I know that I've also been, you know, blessed with the opportunity to work some steps when I'm not in pain, but pain is a good motivator, and whatever it takes, you know, I don't care what it is, whatever makes you motivated is how, you know, is how it's got to be done. And, you know, when you find out the people that you have surrounded yourself, that unconditional love, the love that Bernard was talking about again, is so powerful, and to have this network, this society of Narcotics Anonymous, to be there, and you really don't have to say anything, because we all know what it is. We know what it's like. You don't have to say anything. Some people wonder, what's wrong with you? Why you put, you know, but we all have our own paths. We all have our own journeys. And, you know, I don't know what my higher power's will for me is. I just have to go along for the ride and see what happens, you know? I have a very good conscious contact with the God of my understanding, and that was something else that I developed during that time. You know, when I got here and was having all these problems with the God thing, and, you know, I listen to other people, you know, because that second and third step, like I was saying, I had a problem with, and when I finally internalized the second and third step, it is such a freeing experience to know that you are going to be okay no matter what. And, you know, in our literature, you know, it says that about internalizing and having the faith and the reliance that you're going to be okay, I think will help us along this journey, and we can probably pretty much, you know, get through anything with each other, because I could not have done it by myself. I could not have done it without working these steps. I could not continue to do it without you guys and these steps and the God of my understanding that I have developed in here. And, you know, now I'm taking guidance from my two-year-old because she doesn't really talk very well, so she has to guide me to what she wants a lot of times, you know, by pointing or grunting or screaming until I figure out what she wants. I am guided by this, you know, little gift from God. And, you know, I don't know where my answers are going to come from. I don't know where my help is going to come from. You know, this fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous, you know, I don't know how it works. I don't know anybody who knows how it works. And that's how it works. You know, one day at a time, I have learned to live my life without the use of drugs. And the gifts of this program, too numerous for me because I have a lot of them. You know, the pit in the hole, the pit in my stomach is gone. The fear, I had a lot of fear that I don't have today. I have a lot of hope today because I know, and I've seen, and I see people who keep coming, and who follow the suggestions and accept guidance, or then again don't accept guidance and learn the hard way. You know, this program works. And, you know, I'm not a long speaker, and I'm sure the mic is going to be open for other people to come up and share their experience, strength, and hope. And with that, thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Eileen. The meeting is now open. If there's anybody in here who would like to come up to the podium and share their experience, strength, and hope, now is the time. All we ask is be mindful, 5 minutes of sharing. The meeting is now open.
Family, I'm Derek Ladd.
Hey, Derek.
And I'd like to thank my higher power for another day. And on my trip down here, I had to pray for some change. I got off work early today just to be a part of this. And ever since I've been around here, I was told there was some guidance. But, you know, directions were so hard for me to follow because I'm an individual that like to create and make things work my way, you know. So I end up running into the brick wall using, and y'all know the rest behind that. But today, it's real important for me to stay plugged in. And just coming down here, I had to look at me, y'all. I didn't come here for none of y'all this year. I came for me, you know. And I didn't come down here with a mask on. I came down here to strip of a whole lot of characters and defects that I have. But I know I'm not going to get rid of all of them, you know, and that was just said, and it's real important for me to stay plugged in. I don't even know why I'm sharing right now. I feel real good, because when I come to a convention, I'm going to tell you there's something spiritual about this thing that makes me plug in. And, man, I can relate and identify with everybody. You know, I don't look outside of myself. to discriminate and things, because, man, I'm sick. I was telling myself, I went to buy some lotion. I just asked a young lady for some lotion. I was looking at my hands, you know, and God blessed me with some hands to work. And I went to buy some lotion. My thoughts told me to steal it because I ain't from this area, you know. And but soon as I got over, said, man, it's about change. Working on something, a police walked down the aisle. And something told me right then, just keep doing the right thing, you know. Maybe that was happened for a reason, I don't know. But the spiritual part of me coming down here and staying on this path, being where I'm at, has afforded me to just be a little more open-minded. You know, my program kicked in that quick. You know, dang, a $5 bottle of lotion ain't even worth it. You know, I'm down here. I don't know where they're going to take me at. They might take me down to the end of the beach, beat me up, and drown me, and something. I don't know. But I'm just glad to be here, and I thank the people that spoke. You know, this is my partner. You know, and he said that the unity of this program has afforded me to wake up. You know, the little boy still wants some things to go out and play. You know, I wish I'd have brought my boat, but it's too cold. Now, I have some other ideas and some thoughts to do. You know, I want to ride a motorcycle on the street. Don't belong on the street. I'm working on something. You know, character defects. Still want to kick in. Don't want to change yet. But it's about change. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks for sharing. All right.
I love you, man.
Love you, sir.
My name's Melvin. I'm an addict.
Hey, Melvin.
And I wasn't going to say nothing, but when I saw the topic, you know, accepting guidance, I keep thinking about when I came in this program at the age of 39, and there were people in this program at the age of 19 and 22 that had 4 and 5 years of recovery. And it wasn't just talk. They were actually practicing the principles of the program. And a lot of them were sharing with me, and I rebelled against the information they gave me because I thought that I was older than them and that I knew something. So I said, it'd be good for me to come up here and say to you that being in this program and being almost 54 years old, I'm still open today. I'm still open to the person that knows how to live. See, I never knew how to stop using, but in the second step, it says that the first thing we do is stop using. And then the pain of living without the drugs or anything to replace them, well, forces us to seek a power greater than ourselves that can relieve us of the obsession to use. See, I understand that once the drugs are gone, God is calling me to a whole new level of life. See, and I was just down the street there. They were talking about balance, you know, having a balance. See, you can stop using and still not know how to live. That's what I've learned. I've learned that because I didn't come from a nurturing family, a nurturing background, when people showed me love, I didn't even recognize it. You know, so what I've come to understand is this, that through my experiences in this program, I've learned what love really is. Love ain't, you know, somebody that love you when you're doing real good. Love is when somebody that's there for you when you're going through. See, now that I've been in here a little while and people have been here for me, I'm able to be there for somebody else. See, this program have helped me to understand rather than be understood all the time. See, I'm the kind of guy, and I'm gonna talk about me because I'm going to tell you something. I think I'm the head of the CIA. And I'm just telling you. And I'm in this program, but I'm in the middle of this program. They all tell me that the three things that will defeat me in my recovery is closed-mindedness. You understand? My inability to accept the truth. You know, this is not a program that you get by osmosis. You know, you don't change your behavior just because you say you work in the sixth step. Because what my sponsor tell me is, I don't work the steps. The steps work me. And what I mean by that is, when the rubber hit the road, what are you going to do? You know, guidance comes in all forms in this program. I watched people that I couldn't stand when I came in here. I thought they had it going on. They were up and they were talking, and they had a whole lot of clean time, and I would be sitting back on death row. Huh? Assassinating their character. Wanting all the things that I seen them have. And I'm talking, then I'm gonna go right here for a minute. I'm talking about material stuff. Because when I came in here, my pocket rated zero. And I ain't saying that that's all you, but if you stay around here, you'll get the car, you'll get the apartment, you'll get the job. So those are some of the things that I was able to look at people and see them have. But I was angry, and I rebelled. I didn't want the stuff because I ain't like the person that was sharing.
Oh, y'all.
I said, I ain't want the stuff because I ain't like the person that was sharing. But I come to find out that after that person stepped down from that podium and told me their story, that my story was very similar to theirs. And what I found out is that if another addict can do it, I can do it too. Bernard is one of the guys that's in here in this program that I look towards spiritually because we are kind of spiritually yoked. And what I mean by that, I look to God for guidance, but I look for God to work through people as well. That's what this program has told me. Because I got real religious one time. You understand? I got so heavenly holy, I wasn't no earthly good. And so you couldn't tell me nothing because everything was a scripture. But what happened is I found out that there's some people in here that don't read the Bible that still know some things about life. I'm going to shut up with that. No, I'm just glad to be a member of Narcotics Anonymous. And I want to say this, that if you in here and you new, don't be hating on people because they may have a little better way of talking. They may have a little more stuff than you. But if you watch what they do and do what they do, the same thing can happen for you. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Thank you, Shane, man.
My name is Ron, and I'm an addict.
Hey, Ron.
And first thing I want to do is thank Eileen and thank Bernard. Excuse me, I'm losing my voice, too. I want to thank Eileen and thank Bernard because one of the things I really need to hear today was a message of recovery, and that's what I got from both of you, so thank you. You know, I was coming down here today, and I was thinking to myself, y'all, that I couldn't connect the feeling that I was having while I was driving here, and then all of a sudden it hit me. And I say, man, I feel like the little child whose mother told him he was going to Hershey Park, Pennsylvania in the morning, you know? And the closer I was getting to the park, the more excited I was getting, you know? I didn't come last year, and I feel so lonely that whole entire weekend, you know? I just couldn't go to the right place. I couldn't talk to the right people. I couldn't see the right people, you know? It's just like I just needed to be down here, and I just made it a point that this year I was going to make it here, and I was so glad that I did. You know, it's a wonderful way to start this weekend. But I was sitting there listening to people share, and I started thinking about the topic. And the topic was acceptance and guidance. And that's right where I'm at in my life today, you know. I'm almost 50 years old, and I got sick for the first time. I have hepatitis C. And in fact, I'm on the medication right now, you know. And the first thing I had to do was accept it. You know, what you want to do for real is sit down and say, man, I ain't shot dope in X amount of years, and I'm doing this, I'm doing that. Why me? Why not you? All the places you've been and all the crap you did. You crazy, you know? You think that was just going to go away? You know, y'all told me when I first got here, you know, everybody gets by, but nobody get away. You know, so you keep sitting there thinking that it's going to be all right. It might be, but what you going to do when the rubber meet the road, you know? So I'm just trying to deal with it. And the second part to that is the guidance that I have to take now to live with this. You know, because see, at first I wanted to shut everybody out, cut everybody off, not go nowhere, not do nothing. And just get on the pity pot, you know. But then what I learned was that what I had to do was take some guidance from some people, you know. Not the doctors in line, like Bernard was talking about, you know. But the real people who went to school and learned about these things and can give you some real help with that, you know. And I'm beginning to live with it now and feel a lot better with it, you know. It's just that every once in a while, I need to say it out loud. I need to let somebody else know where I'm at, you know, because I don't like carrying secrets. Y'all told me when I first got here, secrets would kill me, you know. So I try to dump them as quickly and as fast as I possibly can, you know. It won't be nothing you better go out in the hall and say about me. I ain't already told you. Trust me, you know. That's how I live my life now. It's just open. It's just a book. Ain't nothing to hide. Ain't nothing for me to be ashamed of. Whatever I did, you know. Sometimes I did it with a clear conscience. Sometimes I had no idea what I was doing, you know. I was just doing it. So, but one thing I do know is that since I've been in the program of Narcotics Anonymous, my life has changed tremendously. I try to listen to people when they're sharing. And one of the things that I kept hearing up here was when he kept saying, I didn't shoot no dope today. And the relief that kept coming over me every time he said that. Man, to keep doing something you don't want to do. To keep telling yourself, I'm not going to do this no more, you know? Yeah. To keep throwing them away at night only to go buy a new pair in the morning. Yeah. Or maybe going back looking for the pair you threw last night if you ain't too far away from them, you know?
Yeah.
Man, the relief that I live with today, you know? That I could just actually, first of all, excuse me, ask my boss, can I have the time off? Ask my boss. That means I got a job. That don't exist with me when I use, you know. Working and using don't go together with me, you know. To take the time off, get in the car, and drive to Ocean City, Maryland. Have a hotel, motel room, or whatever that I paid the bill in advance. That don't exist with me when I'm using, you know. If I could get a car to get here, I can sleep in the car. What I got to give you $100 for, you know. I ain't going to be in it that long no way, you know. And then to be able to get up, go get something to eat, and come to a meeting and hear the message of recovery. Hear somebody tell me how to live my life one day at a time, you know, to get some good information fed into me for a change, you know, and not none of that nonsense that I listened to for so many years of my life, y'all, you know. It's just a good feeling for me to be here. I just enjoying this whole affair. One more time, I want to thank Eileen and thank Bernard for the message of recovery that they gave me. My name Ron. Thanks for letting me share.
Good afternoon. I'm Renell, and I'm an addict.
Hey, Renell.
You just don't know. This is a real thrill. I've been 5 years clean.
All right.
And I want to thank the Lord, because if it wasn't for the grace of God, I wouldn't be where I am today. Because in my life, I have done so many drugs. And I was out there back in the 70s when it was the powder, and then it got to the crack, and it got to the free base, and I did it all. And back in 1999, I surrendered to the Lord. And I said, if you get me out of this, you ain't got to ever worry about me going back no more. And I ain't looked back since then. Today, I can look in the mirror and say I have a new life. I have money in my pockets not to go buy no crack, no paddle, no dope, no nothing. And I just want to thank you for letting me share.
Thanks for sharing.
Hey, Franny, my name is Dwayne. I'm a grateful recovering addict.
Hey, Dwayne.
I wasn't going to share. Somebody asked me, what was I going to share? And I was like, I didn't want to. I just wanted to listen. Because I'm young, for real. I just celebrated 18 months. And I actually was in a program, Salvation Army, and I was going to come here last year to the convention, but I was kind of bad in the program. I stayed on restriction, so I wasn't allowed to come out the building. You know what I'm saying? I had to stay in for like 30 days. But I wanted to come up here really to share today because I went to a meeting last week, and I shared, you know, and I shared. It was about a step one meeting, and I shared, and I did okay, you know what I'm saying? I shared about the step one and everything. But after the step, I got stepped on, you know, and I didn't like it, you know what I'm saying? But since the meeting was about acceptance, you know what I'm saying? I'm young. I'm 18 months. And this is all new to me, you know what I'm saying? So I had to, so like this program is for acceptance. I had to learn how to accept that, you know what I'm saying, what happened at that meeting, you know what I'm saying? Because I know I didn't do nothing wrong, you know what I'm saying? I did okay. You know, I talked to my sponsor and everything, and other individuals came to me afterwards and talked to me, you know what I'm saying? And they see that I did anything wrong. So I really just wanted to come up here, man, because I thank God, man, for NA, man. I love NA, you know what I'm saying? And I'm serious about this thing. And I'm glad for acceptance because I'm seriously going to accept this. What happened last week at my home group, and I will be at the next one and make my coffee, you know. And, if I keep coming back, I'm going to learn some guidance, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to learn how to, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to learn how to do this thing, for real. You know what I'm saying? But I just want to come up here and let y'all know that because it's been bothering me, you know what I'm saying? And if I didn't learn how to accept it, I would be straightening it, you know what I'm saying? I don't care how long he been clean, I'd be seriously straightening it. You know, I don't care about his story because I've heard it, you know what I'm saying? I'm not scared, you know what I'm saying? My man upstairs, you know what I'm saying? And with that, thanks for letting me share.
Hello, family. My name is John, and I'm still an addict. I would like to seriously thank everybody for sharing. I don't think it would be right if Rochester didn't put a little taste on this.
Go ahead, Rochester.
I'm powerless. To the young man who just spoke, I'm powerless over people, places, and things. I can't control what comes out of somebody's mouth. See, but maybe they better put a step on it. I don't know, for me, I'm just like y'all. I'm sitting there and I heard my story way down here, you know. So I just want to say Narcotics Anonymous doesn't promise anything but a daily reprieve from active addiction. And by God, that's what I was looking for. The message is hope. The promise is freedom. Something I never had. Never had. I was always locked and loaded in my disease. And I was hopelessly trying to get out. This program is a great thing. I got some 8 years clean. And to another brother who was shut, time doesn't equal recovery if you ain't got none. You know. I had a whole bunch of using days, and I couldn't get out. So what did I have? You know what I'm saying? But this is my first time down here. This is a beauty. Y'all put on a hell of a thing down here. Hell of a thing. You know, I like it. I like it. My family here, my wife sitting in the back. She got mad at me a little earlier, and I had to, God grant me the serenity, huh, to accept the things I can't change. Here we go again. You know what I'm saying? But it works. Because if I didn't have that, we'd have been cutting up down here in Maryland. Huh? Right at the convention. You know? But, you know, I love my wife dearly. And, you know, when it says the war is over, she's not my enemy, but because I know her, I know how to deal. You know what I'm saying? So I know what I have to do for me when she gets that way. See, I need to retreat. See, because, you know, I read the Bible. Jesus retreated. You know, the crowds got too much for him. He always had a boat waiting by the water. Huh? Stepped in the boat. Hey, come on. You know, rather than say something you're sorry for. You know, I didn't come down here to get mad at my wife. My little boy back there, he just had a birthday. He's a N.A. baby. Knows his parents no other way. You know, but clean and sober. And you want to say something, son? Come on. You want to say something? Oh, okay. Okay, yeah. But I just want to say this is a beautiful thing. And for everybody in here to remember, it's only one ass you can save.
That's it.
It's only one. You know, I tried saving a whole bunch of people, and it just didn't work. I tried saving my oldest son. It did not work. It did not work. I had to step back and said, shit, nobody could save me. How can I save him? You know. And that's this disease will work on you and work on you. You know, just remember, people is cunning, baffling, and powerful. But remember, God is all powerful. Thanks for letting me share, and we got a beautiful way of closing. Thank you, sir.